News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, David Byrne. He's the Managing Director of UPMC in Ireland. He's also the Senior Vice President of UPMC International. David, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Bobby.
Now, I know nice you went... Lovely to meet you, David. And I know you went to a school of note, because indeed I was in the same school myself, the CBS in Kilkenny. Tell me more.
Yeah, well, I feel like I should know you, Bobby, because I'm a Kilkenny man, and I've eaten in the New Park, and you're a great supporter of Kilkenny GA as well. Yeah, so yeah, went to the CBS in Kilkenny, and my son is going there now as well, so yeah. Continuing the tradition. But, you know, I went from there then to PwC and trained as a chartered accountant, and actually trained in Kilkenny as well.
Yeah, I know, and I know PwC have an office in Kilkenny, and I think you started as a graduate before moving on to Avonmore and Glanbia, which must have been very interesting for you, particularly as your background was steeped in hurling and GAA.
It was. It was actually through the GAA I got the position in Avonmore at the time. It was a six-month contract as a forestry accountant when I was playing with Kilkenny. And from there, I suppose through the merger of, if you remember, Bobby Avonmore and Watford Co-op coming together at that same time.
I do.
I moved into the company as it is now, Glanbia. And I spent a year and a half in Ballyragget in the milk factory on agri accounts, you know, 18 branches around Kilkenny and the environs, and working with the branch managers and getting to know the community. And then I went down to Dungarvan for a year after the merger and helped set up a shared services centre for the new Glanbia entity. And we brought employment to Dungarvan through what is now the Glanbia World Shared Services Centre.
Yeah.
So I spent a year there and then went to Dublin after that.
Yeah, and again, you worked with Argus Car Rentals, that later became Car Trawler. You also then moved out of the sector and worked in construction with McInerney Homes. I think it was eight years you spent there. Is that right?
That was right. I was with Argus Car Rentals for 5 years, then came back home, back to Wall with a Kilkenny man, moved back with my wife to Glenmore in South Kilkenny, where we built a house. But I secured a job with McInerney's in Watford and spent 2 years there. But then went to Britain for 2 years as finance director when the boom was on, Bobby. And,
You were there for the bust as well, because I think you turned out the lights in McInerney's, didn't you?
Well, we went from buying companies in Britain to coming retreating back to Dublin, and very much we went through a long examinership and ended up in the High Court and in the Supreme Court. But that was my journey to July 2011 when McInerney's PLC was eventually liquidated. But I was one of the last there. I stayed right till the end to see could we do something, but you know, the world caught up on us.
And it's interesting, I think, when you see a career that is, you know, and I think if you look at anyone's career, it's never a bed of roses, and you really do have to have the challenging times, because you took a contract position there in Whitfield in Waterford, is that right? That's you know, a business in receivership, no money, no bank, you know, that's tough stuff.
It was tough stuff, I suppose, and the grounding I got through the last year in McInerney's with examinerships and receiverships was tough too. But through contact, I was looking for a job everywhere at the time. Any job would do. And I was offered a six-month CFO contract in Whitfield Clinic, a private hospital. I'd just been put into receivership by IBRC at the time, or Anglo-Irish at the time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, IBRC, Anglo-Irish became IBRC. IBRC was liquidated. So at that time, we had no bank, we were in receivership, and we had no money. We didn't even have an overdraft. So trying to run a hospital in that situation was very tough, but credit to the team that we had. We stuck at it. The six-month contract evolved then through a couple of years, and Goldman Sachs actually bought the debt in a Project Stone from IBRC at the time. And in 2014, I put a business case together for Goldman Sachs to continue to support us for 2 years. They knew very little about healthcare. They just discovered this loan in the middle of 1,000 loans that they purchased. But they were good support for us for 2 years. And we put that case to them and the supporters, and we really worked to turn it around. And that was one step in the journey, a hard, hard journey.
Yeah.
Very much learning healthcare from the bottom up. because I was new to healthcare myself, Bobby. So
yeah,
and it was very much, you know, walking and talking.
It's very interesting as well, you know, the UPMC, that's University Pittsburgh Medical Center. Am I right in saying that?
Correct. That's correct, Bobby.
So that sounds like a fascinating organization, David. You know, and I know the stats are massive. 21 billion, 92,000 employees, 700 in Ireland, 44 hospitals. But just no shareholders and no investors. How does that model actually work?
I suppose I got to know them. They were a tenant in Whitfield, so I fought with them for 3 years, trying to take money out of their business to support our business. But I very much got to know them. But I got them to know them as healthcare people. I saw them as a sleeping giant, if you like. The brand was on the wall, but nobody knew anything about them. I went to Pittsburgh to meet the CEO in August 2016, Bobby, and I learned a lot about them from his vision. And he has built UPMC over 40 years to that entity that you described. It's an academic, not-for-profit health system.
Right.
And it's the not-for-profit you're referring to, really, with no investors and no shareholders. So it's run as a commercial entity, but all the operational cash, or free cash, as you would know it, gets reinvested back into the health system, into the community, into University of Pittsburgh Clinical Research, because we're a partner of University of Pittsburgh. Two of their board members are on our board. Yeah, it's a volunteer board, to give you an example. A lot of business people, very experienced business people on the board, and they guide the health system across Pennsylvania, Ohio, Maryland, and into New York, a tri-state. And we have a number of different divisions. But it works really from generating, we have a payer and a provider. So we have our own, if you like, PHI, Bobby, 4 million members. So we have the payer side and we have the provider side on the health system.
Amazing.
And it's integrated in that it flows through the system, through the payer and into the provider. And you're all the time generating cash just through good economics. And then you're providing that service via state schemes like Medicaid and Medicare, which is like a universal health insurance in the states. And we get paid for service and we reinvest our free cash back into the health services, whether it's the community or research. So it's fascinating.
And if we look then at your own, even your Irish operations, Whitfield, Audeven, congratulations on that, Kildare. Yeah. The future of Irish healthcare, David, in your view, like we've always had this private, public, we've been turned on our heads with COVID-19. What are the opportunities now for real change in Irish healthcare going forward from here?
We're right in the middle of it, Bobby.
Right.
Right in the middle of it.
Well, tell us more.
Yeah. I put the business case. In 30 months, we've grown from 30 employees to 700. We now have 5 facilities from a standing start of very little. But when I put the case to UPMC in Pittsburgh, we weren't buying private hospitals, albeit we were buying healthcare facilities. And how we use those healthcare facilities as a healthcare business should be on equity of access for all. And our radiotherapy agreement that we've had for 15 years now in the Southeast is in partnership with the HSE, and it's integrated into the Southeast health system. And as a patient requires radiotherapy treatment, it's regardless of who is paying the bill, it's equity of access. So you get access based on your need. It doesn't matter whether I send an invoice to the HSE or I send an invoice to VHI at the end. The patient has no effect on the patient pathway. So where's the opportunity now is, just like we've all worked together through COVID, a lot of the doors that have been shut for many years are open, and strengthened partnership is the big one for me. If we can work together to deliver healthcare services in this country, regardless of whether it's a GP or a nursing home operator or a primary care center, or a healthcare facility that happens to be managed by a third party like ourselves, or working in partnership with our HSE colleagues like we do in the Midlands, the Southeast, and Cork. We've worked with 14 different public hospitals, Bobby, over the last 12 months. All of it very quietly in the background and very successfully.
Well, this is a fascinating story, and I'm going to watch it with interest going forward. David Byrne, Managing Director of UPMC in Ireland. We may even indeed see the Pittsburgh Steelers play in Nolan Park. David, thanks a million. We'll talk to you soon.
MC Nolan Park, Bobby. So yeah, we're looking after our own as well, of course.